Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I had little Marcus. My libido was in the toilet. I was like, and it wasn't that I was like, I wanted to want to, but my want to did not change that my body and my mind weren't in line with that.
What's happening, family?
What's happening?
Welcome back to another episode of
Is This Gonna Cause an Argument?
I'm your host, Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank, and I am joined by my co-host, my wife of 15 years, my best friend, my sex partner. What else?
Sex partner. That makes it so sterile.
Yeah, it is sterile. You know that one thing we be doing.
Oh, there's a lot of things that we be doing.
My beautiful wife, my life partner, my partner in crime.
Amen.
You know, she's the driver and I'm the shooter, or vice versa.
Vice versa.
One of us.
Or we both shooting and the car ain't driving.
Yeah. It's in cruise control. 80 miles an hour. Go on, let them know who you are.
What's up, y'all? My name is Angel Tanksley, also known as Angel Akita Moore, also known as That Chick Angel. And thank you for watching and tuning in to Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? If this is your first time watching, this is a weekly podcast that we upload every single Wednesday. It is a podcast where we literally hit whatever topic our producer pulls or whatever topic is on our mind, whether it be something that recently hit the news, whether it be something that just happened in our own personal life. Regardless, we're going to have a fun time. We're going to try to make you laugh. We're going to try to make you think, and we're going to try to get you involved. We have an amazing sponsor today that we can't wait to tell you more about, and that is Helix. We will tell you about them later on in the podcast. We also want to give a huge shout out to the people that are actually watching this live when we tape this, and that is our Patreon, which is our immediate family. We call them our Angel Wings, our Tanks Riders. And they are people who have supported us monetarily with a $5 a month little gift. They are the ones that have made this podcast happen. They help pay for our producer. They help pay for other productions that we're doing. And we are greatly appreciative of them. And we have community events with them. So it's not just a, oh, you get content. You also get access to us and access to a community of people that are actually loving on each other, praying for each other. So if you would like to be a part of that community, go to www.patreon.com/thatchickangel. Bloop. All right, babe. I think I did everything I was supposed to do. So what you supposed to do, Nate?
How you doing, first of all?
I am exhausted.
Yeah, you exhausted?
Yeah, I'm a little tired. Yeah.
I ain't going to let it slide. People need to know. So what's going on with the...
I saw the masking. Listen, I saw a gay white man, a gay black man, excuse me, wearing, who works in styling, wear his sweater, or hoodie, it was more than likely just a sweatshirt, tied around him diagonally. And I was like, and if y'all don't know, I hate hoodies. They are the bane of my existence. They're the bane of my hair.
Hoodies are trash.
They make me hot. They make me feel I'm going through menopause because I sweat so badly. So I was like, you know what? When I saw it, like,
if you're listening, it's like, you know how they used to do the preppy thing where they take the sleeves and tie it around your neck? Angel's is tied around her like a crossbody bag.
There you go. And I saw it and I was like, oh, praise God, because I do love a matching set. Now, a matching set gives me everything. A matching set definitely gives rich auntie vibes, but I don't want to be sweating in a matching set. So I said, oh, I can still wear the matching set, but like tie it around in a different way. So it's what the young kids are doing. Yeah. You don't know. You're not young.
You know what that reminds me of is like hoodies. They're extremely limited and people love them. It's the iPhone of fashion to where Android is the jacket. It has so many more capabilities.
Why?
You can zip it. You can unzip
why?
It.
You why? Can, you, why? Android is not paying you to not. Promote
but I'm tired
them
of y'all
as
shoving
as...
Apple down my throat. Anyway.
We don't
moving
shove it.
On.
If you knew how to use your Android better and knew how moving to navigate on. Social media better, you wouldn't have to use
but
an iPhone.
But it don't matter because they don't compete. They don't communicate with each other. That's what stupid the companies are. I hate both of them, actually. Because the companies ain't doing what they need to do to make everybody's lives easier. Anyway, moving on. Tanksley Pride. Tanksley Pride. Tanksley Pride. We got four sons. It's Tanksley Pride. Yeah.
If you all see us on tour, I want you to know you're going to get all of that on tour.
Hey. Anyway, Tanksley Pride is a segment that we do with about our four boys. In case you couldn't tell by the jingle, we have four sons, and we call them the Tanksley Pride. And so you got a story about Tanksley Pride?
Yes, I do. I did not know that in my household I have a little Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, yeah. M. Night Shyamalan, Ava DuVernay, just keep them going, all right? Lucas, the one who did Star Wars. I got that sitting in my house.
We only know is that name, Lucas.
Lucas Films. My sons, Kai and Sai, have iPads, and they sometimes record videos on their iPads. They don't have any access to social media, so everything they record stays in their iPad. Well, Sai and Kai both sent me a little film that they individually made. Mm-hmm. Kai's was okay. I don't really know what was supposed to have been truly going on.
George Lucas.
George, thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Yeah, Ryan Coogler. Yeah, put him on there too. Kai's was entitled A Ripoff of Frozen 2. That's what the title was.
That's the title of it.
But it was a lot of chaos because Amar, I think, kept interrupting. Well, Size, however, I don't remember what it was called, but it started with him landing on a planet that he had never been on before.
Where am I? What is this place?
Now, mind you, he's writing this. He's like saying the script. He's making it up. He's improvising like his mother. What a planet. This is very unusual.
But there is filter and noise and sound effects to him on this planet, like confusion.
Yes. He was like the portal. What did he call it? It was like it wasn't just the time portal. It wasn't a time portal. It was some sort of like portal something that landing him in this place. He was like, I need to find someone to figure out where I'm at. And so he's looking around the planet. He was like, this is really, he's using like these words like perplexing and yeah. All this other stuff, right? And then he's like, if I can find someone. And then he's like, there's someone he is. Kai enters.
Finally, I found someone. Who are you? I am Sai. My name is Kai. What is this place? Home. My home.
And he's like, hi, what's your name? And he's like, I'm Kai. And he's like, oh, my name is Sai. He's like, what is this planet? So they're having a conversation. And then all of a sudden there's a transition. He's like, oh, my, and Kai's not there.
He like fades away.
He fades? Like, one thing to the next.
He's like, wait, where'd you go?
He's like, where did he go? And then Sai looks down. He was like, there you are. What are you doing down here? He's like, what? You're a shapeshifter. The camera angle changes. So that now we're seeing from Sai's point of view, and we see another version of Sai looking up, going, yes, I'm a shape sister.
I am one of the shape sisters. You're correct. And you won't get me.
You're a shape sister.
It kept saying shape sister. And he's arguing with him, and there's this whole thing. And I was just like, what?
He gets into a fight with the shape sister.
Yes, he does. And the camera angles is changing.
Yes, he's like punching off screen. The other guy's getting hit. The other guy's punching. He's getting hit. I'm like, this dude is getting brilliant.
I was like, what? And then he has questions coming up on the screen. Are you enjoying this? Asking the audience, the viewer. He's like, well, I am. It was just so good. I was just like, okay. Then he had a break, like an intermission in the middle of it, and then it continued that part. Yeah, he could have did some rewrites and some left some footage on the cutting room floor. But that's my Tanksley Pride story, is that my child, Sai, really impressed me not only with his shooting and his editing, but his script. Like, I was thoroughly just like mouth wide open, like, what? You did this? I just can't even. These kids are smart. I can't even.
They are. It was dope. I was like, what?
Right?
Like, completely shocked, like blown away. So mine is on the completely opposite end of the spectrum. This morning, I take the boys to the bus stop. So 6 o'clock, go in there, wake them up. I do the little soft, like, hey, you know, I don't like being jolted awake, so I don't jolt nobody else awake. Jolt nobody else awake. So I'm like, hey, y'all get up, you know, reaching all over, shaking one a little bit, shaking the other. They wake up, stretch. I'm like, come on, y'all get up. It's time to get ready. They both stand up, stretch. I go on and walk out of the room because I got to get ready. I go back in the room. I'm running around trying to find something to wear there. Jump in the shower, get out the shower. By the time I'm out of the shower, lotioned up, halfway clothed, Angel's up. And that's usually when she starts asking questions. She's, are the boys up? What kind of father you think I am? I know I got to take them. Of course they up. So I haven't heard water in a while. I'm like, oh, they must be very close to ready. They done brushing their teeth, washing their face and stuff. This is at 6:30, usually when I'm leaving the house with them. I walk in the room. Both of these little dirty heifers is back in the bed snoring.
They ain't got on no clothes. They still in pajamas.
They ain't started. I walked out of the room. They must have high-fived and got back in the bed.
They did not high-five. They high-fived their dream. They were like, let's get back to it.
I mean, and usually that's happened before where one of them got back in the bed, and usually the other one wake them up, or they'll come tell me. It's like, hey, Sai, he lay back down. Or Kai, he's back in the bed. When I tell you I went in there, get up out of the bed. Then they jumped up, eyes bloodshot. Yep, and get ready. So Angel runs in there and helps them get ready because I got to leave out before she does with them. When I tell you there's so many traffic violations I made this morning, because the last thing I wanted to do was have to drive them to school. I pull up to the bus stop and I see, like, you know, moms that got like young babies. Looks like they putting their child back in the car. I'm like, the guy, and he left early, but luckily the bus was late. So, the bus would have been like about to close the doors by the time I pulled up. Usually,
I had to wash their face. They didn't get to brush their teeth as long as they normally do. I was like, that's enough brushing. I didn't brush their hair, but I wetted and put product in it so their curls would at least be popping. I had to dress Kai fully.
Oh yeah, no, Kai was.
I ran and got him.
He wakes up refreshed because he's usually the first one to fall asleep.
While they were brushing their teeth, I was putting their socks on them.
I appreciate it.
I was like, oh.
They was about to go half-dressed.
Because Marcus was walking back in there to fuss more. I was like, babe.
I was just checking on him.
Oh, you.
I was walking back in there to, like, rush him along, help him out.
I was like, oh, dear God. it was, oh my gosh. Right, it'd be so loud in the hallway
they,
here.
They move in the hallway in case y'all can't hear it.
They move in the whole building. I'm like, what is that? But yeah, no, my kids, I tell you, they are a whole mess. But no, they have the tendency to want to go back to bed. So I have to wait until they are both fully up, walking to brush their teeth before I leave the room with them.
That ain't never happened with me. Now that it has, I'm like, y'all getting up out of this bed. I've never, especially Sai. Usually Sai would be the one to try to lay back down and Kai would jump up because he's probably been asleep about an hour longer than Sai does. But anyway, fam, moving on. You understand me? We got, I was going to say Tank Taco Clock. Tick Tock O'Clock. Angel, girl, what time is it?
Tick Tock O'Clock.
It's a segment where we listen to a TikTok and we give our opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So Angel, go on and play it.
This is from Shan Boodrum's Lover and Friends podcast. Really great podcast. You all should check it out.
So does it take 2.5 months to get a consistent erection or 2.5 months until you even feel comfortable engaging in sexual intercourse?
No, I would say 2.5 months for consistent. Consistency like I know I can be.
Mm.
It's embarrassing. It's frustrating. It's humiliating. It only happens when I really care about the woman. So that's the crazy thing. Like if I'm in Vegas and I had a one night stand, I'm Superman, which is weird. And it's wild because there's so many factors to it. The first factor is like, I got to console the woman that I'm with, which I would like to be consoled in that situation, right? I got to console her, let her know, hey, it's not you. I promise you, your boy wants you, you know, not you whatsoever. But then I have to, there's so much self-talk that goes into it. I think for me, I get in my head and I don't want her to feel that I just want her for her body. And I overthink and overcompensate for so many different things. And I just want to love her and love her mind, body, and spirit.
What is the ideal thing to say to a person who is not getting erect in the moment and is noticeably frustrated about it?
I would say genuine, keyword, bold, text, highlight it, underline it. Genuine because we can pick up on bullshit, right? Be genuine in how you respond. And your response should simply be, you know, to be honest, but I just wanted to be around you. I just wanted to be with you.
So do you understand the full context of like what he's
saying that it takes him, if he's in a relationship, it takes him time to be able to perform fully versus just meeting somebody after a party and somebody he doesn't have interest in.
Yeah.
He can perform at his best.
So when I saw this months ago, I was like, okay, this is an interesting, I guess, situation that's probably not talked about a lot because I feel like men be having all the cap all the time when it comes to.
Oh, yeah. It starts in middle school.
When it comes to sex, when it comes to their desire for sex, when it comes to their performance, and when it comes to who they have had sex with.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, the amount of partners, the excitement of the partners and capabilities and all of that. Yeah.
Have you ever had a guy friend be that vulnerable with you about like anything, I guess, regarding sex?
Yeah, I have. But it's never like in a this happened. It's like, it's usually on the thing. Like, man, we tried to get, you know, remember old girl, tried to do something, man. I couldn't even get up. I don't know what it was. And it's just like, usually in the guy circle, it ain't like, you know, it could be this, could be that. It's just like, you know, there ain't nobody trying to console the guy or like, you know, hey, I had the same thing happen. Or I ain't never had that happen, but I did read that, you know. So guys are not really open like that in general. I have had guys come and like, you know, they – with somebody, it's like if we really close, it could. I know guys that could come to me and tell me stuff like, actually, yeah, I've had two of my friends have had situations like that happen where it's just like, this is, I ain't never had this happen before, you know, because when something happens and a man hasn't experienced or heard anybody else experience, especially on this, they're not going to hear other men talk about it. Mm-hmm. They will go to somebody that they can feel like they can trust. Like, hey, man, you ever, has this ever happened to you? It's like, so there are guys, but I feel like, you know, a lot of guys, it depends. That'll let them know a lot about their circle, you know, once they get older and more mature, of who they can talk to. If they realize they can't talk to nobody in their circle, mm-hmm, about something like that, then, you know, you need to step your game up, as a step your friendship game up. But
so do you feel like you have guys in your circle, absolutely, that you could, like, if you experienced something that wasn't, yeah, what you would normally, do you feel like we have a open enough communication that if something was happening with you sexually that did not seem normal to what you're used to, that you would feel comfortable being like, hey,
I would come to you before anybody. I'd be like, man, look, I know the other day, you know, I was walking, I was swinging rope. I don't usually swing the rope. Usually, you know, it's full on lead pipe, but the rope was there. All right. And I did what I could. I know you was looking at me funny. I was looking at me funny. You know what I'm saying? So I call my boy. Hey, he goes through it once a month, once a year.
See, that means, you know, you didn't call me first.
No, I'm saying after the fact.
Oh, okay. Like, that means you did not talk to somebody else.
But, no, I would definitely, you know, come to you first. Hell, you the ones that's going to experience it along with me. Ain't no point in going to somebody else.
I wonder, you know, what's crazy.
Dating situation, I don't know, it might have been different. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
He was talking about dating. When dating someone, his is probably like, if he's having that type of issue, it's probably like an initial, once they start getting more serious, it's like, this might go down. It's like, no, look, I'm really into you. This is something that I go through. So that would be something, I imagine, a very difficult conversation to have at first, but a conversation you need to have at first, mm-hmm, if that's the, you know, situation, which is probably more difficult than some, you know, somebody that's been in together for 17 years.
What I always wonder is why men don't want more knowledge when it comes to sex.
Ego, like, maybe
because I really am like, there would be less lies, less cap from men if there wasn't such a large amount of ignorance. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. There is like this expectation, and the expectation is the highest of expectations.
Yeah.
They feel like, oh, okay, we gotta be able to like blow her back out. She's got to orgasm multiple times. Gotta last a really, really long time. All these like huge expectations that either they expect of themselves, and if it's not happening, will lie that they are meeting, yeah, these expectations, instead of, if that is your desired, I guess, end game, like actually getting the knowledge and understanding what it actually takes to be that type of sexual partner. Hmm. Where I'm not saying that women are out here doing all the research, but I think women are more willing to. Me and my homegirl just recently had a conversation about oral sex, and she was talking about how she's really trying to improve her game. She was like, you know, I can't really say that in the past that I was probably given the best that there was. She was like, but I'm like really trying to be like good, like mm-hmm, with the person that I'm with, I want them to be like, you done killed it, right? And I was like, yeah, no, I said, I get it. I recall, listen, I'm going to be dead honest. I recall taking a class, you understand? Because I was just like, I don't, like, this is not something.
You had held a class at the house. With.
Yes, because I was like, I know there are other women that want to be good at it. So I have a class, invited.
Yeah, I got back to the house. I was like.
There was cucumbers everywhere.
I found multiple cucumbers with teeth marks in them. I'm like, what were y'all doing? Then I finally put two and two together. I'm like, first of all, we shouldn't be seeing these teeth marks.
Well, we were struggling because some were way too big. But I invited nine other married women to the house. we took a class, and it was so funny, the people that we found out, you didn't need this class, obviously.
She'd be like, oh, we're not supposed to swallow, hold on. Pull it back out.
I was like, oh, it was, listen, you are skilled. But there, multiple of us were like, yeah, I want to know that I am, what I am doing well, what I could get better at, like, and because it's women, a lot of times we are okay being vulnerable to be like, yo, my mouth be feeling dry. How can I fix that? Like, I don't want to be a sandpaper mouth when I'm doing this. What do I need to do? But so when I was having that conversation with my homegirl about it, I was like, yo, I took a class. And I was like, that's not the only class I've taken. Like, I will, you know, y'all have seen me have brand deals with certain companies where that offer education. Y'all know Goody also has, Goody Howard also offers classes. I am willing for the, in the areas that I'm just like, I want to be better at this, not just for my partner's pleasure, but I want to be good at it. Just like any, if it were me giving head is not a career, but any thing that I would say I enjoy doing, I want to be able to do it to the best of my ability. So I was like, yeah, girl. I was like, give, I was like, here's another trick you can do. I was like, here's something else. She was like, what? I was like, listen, I took a class because I really didn't. Prior to you, I didn't. I was, that was not what I was out here doing. So I was like, I don't know.
No, it's, I think a lot of it starts from, so when I can speak on the, you know, from boys, I don't know what girls go through. I mean, I know what girls go through, but not personally because I'm a boy. From early on, like, from, you know, late middle elementary school to middle school, the random erections that you get in school, you know, hoping the teacher don't ask you to stand up, or hoping you ain't got an erection at the end of class where you got to stand up and walk up out of class.
Right.
Just all of these things. You start to see, you know, ladies around you starting to develop and, mm-hmm. you know, all of these things. So by the time a man becomes sexually active, It's more so on the outside, not to say that, you know, physically women don't go through things, more so on the outside of him now finally being able to express that. And it's not known for society for men to, you know, guy, it can be his first time and he'll act like he's been in these streets for years.
Yeah.
So for him to perform, it's like, it's, they put it on a different level, not to say that society's wrong. I mean, society's right, because it's not, they don't make it comfortable for, you know, men to seek out information like that. But on the other hand, you have, even starting off, it's like, it's mentally, it's so easy for guys to get to where they need to go. Uh-huh. It's like they see these things, they got the erection, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to perform. Mm-hmm. To where women, it seems like it's a lot more complex.
It's, it can be as you get older, definitely.
Yeah, especially as you get older. It's just like, man, you know, all they go all through their 20s and 30s, and it's just like, hey, it's here. I ain't even got to think about it. It's going to be ready to go. So not having that that need to figure out, at least, you know, some not having the need to figure out, is like, so I seem to be performing just fine. To where women, once they hit maybe even 30, early 30s, mid 30s, late 30s, it's just like things ain't the same. Or from taking birth controls, things ain't the same. So mm-hmm. you got women start to have to do more and more research of like, why ain't this happening? Why ain't that happening? So I think that might be part of it. And I see a lot of people saying it in the chat, and that's a fact. Porn messes up a lot of stuff. People
yeah.
think, I've seen people do interviews with porn stars, and theirs is like, you know, the main question people always ask porn stars is, how's your sex life in your personal life? They was like, I don't do any of that crap. Because I'm sick and tired of doing it. Mm-hmm. I want to make love to my partner.
Yeah.
I don't want to do. And a lot of people, you know, they put this perception on porn like that's how sex be going, and it don't.
Yeah.
All that's for camera angles.
Yeah, it is.
That's all it is.
Yeah. No, really.
It's all camera angles. So men not being educating themselves, a lot of them mentally tricking themselves to think they, you know, King Ding-a-ling. And if you were to give their wife an honest pill and say, so how really is it? And she was like, he could improve. He don't know he can improve. He don't know he need to be practicing eating some neck bone.
And you know what
I'm saying?
Why?
Hey, this is the neck. Bone. I'm trying to tell you, because there's so many different bones and there's meat down inside them bones. You got to get to it. You know what I'm saying? That's how we – actually, that was the way we used to clown our boys.
If he couldn't
clean the neck bone, it's like, Boy, you lacking. You lacking. But anyway, you said wild men, see?
What?
You can't knock the way we educate ourselves.
The thing is that to clown someone for not eating neck bone,
yeah,
that causes the pride and ego issues.
Yeah, you're right. Men are toxic. I ain't gonna defend us. Crazy.
But yeah, I do think that the watching this clip, it is seeing and looking in the comments, there were a lot of men that were like, oh shoot, I thought I was the only one out here like it. Like,
yeah,
there were,
men will not admit it.
So I do think if the fact of the matter is that unfortunately, and I think everybody knows this, even the men who are in that cycle, having this big outwardly ego and pride, it does nothing if you can't back it up.
Right.
It only makes it worse the more you inflate what you're capable of. And there are very few women that I know of that if you were not as skilled but were like, I want to learn, I want to get better, I want to be the best at this, that would not fully champion you at getting better and learning. I don't think there's a woman that wouldn't be like actually super turned on that your desire was to actually be able to back up what you're claiming you can do for her in the bed. And being able to be truthful when you haven't met your expectations or the expectations that she has for you. And I think if men could have that, and obviously I'm referring to heterosexual sex, I don't really know the, I'm sure a lot of it would translate straight over to same-sex couples, but in a heterosexual relationship, I do believe that women would definitely be very appreciative of a dude leading with truth, so that at the end of the day, we can get to the level that both of us want to be at with each other.
Yeah, and that's one thing that men aren't willing to admit is when they are laying down with someone like someone new, they're putting in the work to make sure they're studying the woman to make sure that they're putting a lot of thought into that. But that's not something that that men will talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because especially if you don't hype yourself up, or you know you like this young lady or whatever, you want it to continue, whatever it may be. There's a lot of thought put into what they're doing, because if she don't get to where she wants to go or seems very unsatisfied, that's going to be ego crushing for him, even though, you know, ego shouldn't even be playing a part in this, but that's going to crush his ego, as he's going to feel bad. He's going to be embarrassed. So that's something that a lot of men don't even talk about, of the what they mentally go through of trying to make sure that they can be quote unquote impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because last thing you don't know, dude, I don't care if it's a one night stand or somebody you're in a relationship with, I'm like, all right, you done? Like, I mean, not to say there ain't men out there like that. I'm sure they are, but
Yeah, I think it's it's conversations. It's open communication, but to close it out, I will always say it goes back to the initial conversation really never happening because of how we romanticize sex. And that initial conversation starts with the conversation around consent. And consent is not just consent to actually engage in sex, but consent around what type of sex you want to actually engage in that is pleasurable for you. Because a lot of times it's just like, oh, we just gonna fumble around and figure it out together. Which, yeah, if you're in a trusting place and that's what you all want to do, but if you are in a place where you're like, I want this to go well, that type of conversation needs to happen, of like, we still have to have that conversation in the conversation of, how do you want to do this?
Yeah.
It's not a thing of, we're just going to
see
if you say no to this or yes to this.
I'm putting out the menu. So what you looking for today? You know, we got appetizers over here. We got the main course. We got dessert. Do you want all three?
And because
you know, would you like inside, you know, patio? Patio or would you like indoor? Would you like a booth? Chair, tables, what you tell me.
Absolutely. And if those conversations were seen as more normal and as actually the foundation, all the other things are going to be easier to deal with. Yet, not everything is going to be comfortable. It's not always comfortable to critique somebody and know you're about to give them a low grade on on something. But if the person knows that you're not doing it to try to deflate them as a person, but to be like, I really would love if I could do this with you. So if you could help support me in this by getting better at this one thing, I think it would take our, you know, sex to another level. So, yeah. We are, like I said, we check in with each other beforehand and check in with each other afterwards.
Yeah,
because
Angel would be quick to question. So what you been watching? Where you get that from?
Absolutely.
I'm a creative person. Sparkling water, flat, tap, bottled.
Next topic, anyway, sir.
On to this main topic. And we stand on the subject. Mm-hmm. Kind of want to say this different, but that's the way it's typed out. Sex and babies. How have children impacted your sex life, and what tricks have you learned over the years so that you can get it in without getting caught?
Ooh, I mean, kids have changed everything around sex.
They are just cock blockers at their best.
They've changed everything. Yeah. One thing that I realize I need in sex is a good mattress, and that's why I'm glad we have Helix Mattress as a sponsor for today's podcast. We have had Helix Mattress for about a year now, ever since we moved into our new house, and when I tell you, I'll never go back. I'll never be the same. We absolutely love our mattress. I think so does Amar, because he ends up in our bed a lot trying to sleep up underneath me. And I'm like, no, I want the mattress underneath me. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. The Helix lineup includes 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, a mattress for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids. So let you know how you'll know that Helix is the best for you and your body. You take the Helix sleep quiz. That's what makes them, I think, one of the best. They find out how you like to sleep. Are you a slide sleeper? Do you sleep on your front? Do you sleep on your back? They ask you the firmness that you like. Are you one of those people that like to basically feel like you're sleeping in sinking sand? Or are you normal like us, like a medium? Or do you want to feel as though you're, you know, sleeping on something a lot harder and like firm? No, everybody's preference is perfect for them. And Helix wants you to have the best that you can have for your sleep. They even have stuff for if you sleep hot, like myself, cooling mattresses. So what I love about our mattress is that it is a hybrid mattress. And what I mean by that, and that's not a term they use, that's how I am trying to explain it to you. It has springs in it, which gives you great support. It gives your spine great support. That's what's going to help you with those aches and pains that you usually have in the morning. And then there is memory foam on top. You all know about memory foam mattresses. The problem with memory foam mattresses, you don't get support, but it does feel like the mattress is hugging your body. So now you're getting both. You're getting support from springs, and you're getting a mattress that hugs your body. That is what I love about them. Also, you get, when you try it, you get 100 night risk-free when you try out your new mattress. And they'll even pick it up from you and give you a full refund if you don't like it. But you will. You're going to love it. After you sleep on that thing for 100 nights, you're going to be like, don't y'all come get this mattress. This is mine. Leave me be. Not only is this mattress one of the best, it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. It's easy to set up. It's fast and easy to set up. It kind of just expands as you cut it open, and they deliver straight to your door, right in a box, for delivered for free. It comes with a 10 or 15 year warranty. And you don't have to take my word for it. It was awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired Magazine. And it's even recommended by leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering a $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/argue.
Argue.
Again, that's go to helixsleep.com/argue.
Argue.
For up to $200 off all mattresses and orders and two free pillows. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Kids ruin sex.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but it is. How they've changed it. One, they have changed the way my hormones are set up. So what I desire and how often I desire is drastically changed by them. Also age, so I can't put it all on them. But literally, I remember hearing stories and like hearing all the jokes about women talking about, once I get on my sweatpants, I ain't trying to have sex. Mm-hmm. My husband's always wanting sex and I don't want sex. Now, that's not how I was prior to kids. How I was prior to kids, it didn't matter what time or day it was. We could make it happen. I was happy to enter into fellowship with my husband. Even before he was my husband, I was happy to enter fellowship with him.
Yes, she was.
So I was like, what the hell are they talking about? Why are they talking about they don't want, what, da, 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 da. I had little Marcus. My libido was in the toilet. I was like, and it wasn't that I was like, I wanted to want to, but my want to did not change that my body and my mind weren't in line with that. So that's just off top of how it changed for me. And then also just navigating around them, because we're not trying to traumatize our kids.
Yeah, it's been, and a lot of people are talking about the time that we got caught in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, I don't know. That boy has never moved that fast in his life.
Ever.
Ever. Marcus is a snail.
Yes, he is.
Walking, moving, pouring water. He can even get water to pour slow. I don't know how you do that. That night, that day we was in the garage and they were occupied. He managed to unlock the deadbolt and the lock and push the door open all in a fraction of a second.
It
and we moved surprisingly fast.
Well, I was agile. I got cat like reflexes.
You did that day.
I do. I always do. I'm always cat like.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. But I said, I told Andrew one time, I said, I've always thought it, but now I didn't know how to word it or how it makes sense. But people with more kids have more. That's why people with more kids have more kids, because they get busy. They don't get a chance to do anything. Then when they do get a chance to do things, they end up pregnant.
All that
sperm. You got to overcompensate
because mm-hmm.
you don't know when the next opportunity is going to come the way you want it.
Yeah.
Now, from the experience we have found ways and times, like we have set times and we know like yeah. this is going to be, especially like from working from home and everything. But even before then, So we had French doors. I think I told us before at our old house in our bedroom. We had French doors that led out to the backyard. Angel, was you out of town or were you just gone?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I don't know if she was out of town and coming back to the house or if she was like just gone busy and came back to the house. And I was like, come through the back door.
Yes.
All right. Do not ring that doorbell. Do not come to their front door. You park, leave your purse, whatever. And walk around through the back gate, the back door.
We can't tell you who we're seeing. Go ahead.
The back door is unlocked. Come on in. And matter of fact, I opened it previously because we had the alarm. And it would be like, master bedroom door open. So I said, let me go ahead and open it up. As soon as I found out Angel was on her way to the house, so it wouldn't be no curiosity. Because I could easily go into the bedroom, close the door. Kids don't bother me. If Angel's home, if she did that, they'd be knocking on the door. Well, sure enough, she came on through that back door, and we was able to have our moment. I went in there. I even, beforehand, I turned, they was watching movies and playing. I turned all the TVs up loud.
Yeah, yeah.
Just playing things out. But we found moments like that. We know, like, we have kind of a schedule as far as the kids. So we know exactly what they need to, what we need to do in order to make things happen. Of course, it's always best on vacation or when all the kids are gone and we ain't busy. We got time to plan, blah, blah, blah. But kid, they do change it. And we found tricks of the trade that work.
Yeah. You know what it is that I feel like with kids, they make sex fall sometimes as a like the priority of it can kind of shift. But it's weird. It's like they do both. They make it so that it feels like it's not a high priority. But then at the same time, because it's not as easy to do, it becomes a higher priority because you really plan for it or like or either try to seize the moments when they happen. Where before it would be like, oh, we could do it now, later, or we could do it both now and later. Yeah.
One thing I don't like is scheduled sex.
You don't?
I don't, no. Mm-mm.
Oh, you stuck in these movies. It's got to be spontaneous.
Yeah, like I got my cheap shirt. You can just rip those buttons off. Even if it's a polo, just rip the top two buttons.
I'm going to tell you, it's rarely going to be spontaneous.
It still be spontaneous sometimes.
To you.
Oh, well, good. Plan out more.
it is but spontaneous for me, it's like, to
if
you.
If you tell me, all right, now, Wednesday at 3:30, I'm like, really? Spontaneous is what I'm here about.
Yeah, no. If your wife was like, okay, only spontaneous, you'd be like, so is you trying to make this a surprise? You trying to have it go for so long that I'm really shocked about when it happens? I have to, in order for me and the way my brain now works as a 42-year-old woman and the way my body works as a 42-year-old woman, it cannot be spontaneous. I have to clock it in my head afar. I have to see it afar.
Why ain't you more the aggressor more times?
Because just like you don't like it scheduled.
You don't like to be the aggressor.
I don't like to have to be the aggressor. I like to be a prey, just struggling in the
act all surprised.
What happened? Of course I set it up.
Sneaky ass heifer.
I set it up. But I have to see it. I have to see it ahead of time so that I can start getting myself mentally ready and prepared. So that it can be enjoyable for you as well. So you're not feeling like you over here pulling teeth for it to happen. Because it's not that. It's not that type of situation for me. But it is because I don't mind being vulnerable and honest, it can sometimes be a lot for me to sink everything in. Mm-hmm. Unlike, other than, like, if you've read Marriage Be Hard, there is a such thing as vacation sex. Vacation sex. Yeah. Is when it is a lot easier.
Your mind is mentally free.
And it doesn't take as much.
Right.
I can go from 1 to 0 to 10 within a matter of a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Versus in real life, it might take me a full day to get to, or at least a few hours.
And even getting the opportunity, if like kids are in the house. Even if everybody sleep, it's still that, like, you don't want nobody to hear nothing. You still can't be freely open to, to do what you want. So, yeah, it's all about, that's why we always say, you know, date nights are important. Going out on dates are important. Our time with me and Angel is important. And that's the tricks that we've learned over the year. I mean, we've learned to manage, you know. Going upstairs and turning on the showers and locking the door.
That's why our water bill is terrible.
Yeah, water bill be awful.
I hear water. Oh, Jesus. I'd be like, we just going to have to pay it.
Save money. You don't need the hot water. You just need the cold water run. We just need the noise. We don't need
a mess. Go ahead. Let's move to the audience question. Hey, ho,
So this is from Mo Humphreys. She sent a few questions. Actually, we got a few really good questions, but we're going to go with this one. What advice do you have for couples who have a love-filled but sarcastic tone in their partner or with their partner that makes others uncomfortable? I want to be unapologetically myself with my future partner without people trying to tell us we need to be nicer to each other. And also, don't take other people's offense. Don't take on other people's offense. It's a really good question. So, as y'all have seen, me and Angel are very sarcastic with each other. We've even gotten told on the podcast that, you know, oh, y'all so mean to each other. Why does he talk to her like that? Why does she say that to him? It's not your responsibility to care if other people are offended by things you're doing in your relationship. Mm-hmm. If they offended, let them be offended. Be you. If y'all happy doing it, y'all see me and Angel, we still joke around with each other. I don't give a damn how mean people think I am to Angel. Angel's a strong woman. If I was truly that mean, she wouldn't be with me. We have jokes that we, you know, throw at each other, and we say, we used to do this thing. Y'all seen Dave Chappelle's show, Cold Blooded? Mm-hmm. He's been playing Rick James. We literally used to walk up and like catch each other off guard and slightly snap, Cold Blooded, just to catch each other off guard. And we would think it's hilarious. We've had friends like, you hit your what, man? Shut up. Relax. All right, this is us. So if it works in your relationship, if that's y'all's love language, y'all having fun that way, let it be y'all and don't worry about what anybody else thinks.
I have a little bit of different advice. I would say, you know, a lot of times when people are offended by the behavior that you all are having, it's because out of caring for you, or like, say, for instance, Marcus might say something to me that might be like to someone else where they think, oh, Angel, I like he could have hurt Angel's feelings. This doesn't mean that we have not hurt each other's feelings in some of our sarcasm. So I think understanding that, yes, sometimes when people are offended, it's because they are taking on what they think you feel. So understand that not everybody's going to be able to understand what you all's inside jokes are, what you all personally are okay with. And unlike a work setting, in a work setting, yes, you do have to take on other people's offenses. Yeah, there are things that you cannot say or do in front of other people that it would be considered inappropriate. So in your marriage, I would say certain things should just be between you two. Certain things are not meant for public consumption. If you don't want to hear people running at the mouth all the time, but if it's a people that care about you a lot, I would just explain, this is how he and I play. We are both fully comfortable with it. If you're not comfortable with it, we understand, but this is our relationship. And this is what we enjoy. But with sarcasm, just know this, it still takes a huge responsibility of being very honest about when something has gone too far, because it is like a very thin line that you're walking in sarcasm, right? And so there are times when I will say something jokingly to Marcus and then realize I've hit a nerve, and then I have to like check in to be like, okay, what did I say? So I know, because let me tell you, with sarcasm comes a lot of responsibility of understanding a person's boundaries and knowing whether or not it was too much for them and making sure that your intentions are clear. So I would just say, make sure you and your person are cool first. Don't worry about nobody else.
Yeah, that's what I said. You know, Angel went a lot more into depth, but I say the hell with their opinions.
Because it's easier said than done.
She wasn't talking about sarcasm between them. We're talking about how other people perceive it. And I said, don't give a damn about what they perceive.
I just gave an extra.
Yeah, no, you're putting too much on it.
Shut up.
Anyway.
Thank y'all, guys,
for tuning in. This has been a great episode. Hopefully y'all enjoyed it. Thank y'all for tuning in again. I've been Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank. Y'all can find me on Instagram, Marcus on the Gram, Facebook, and Marcus on the Book. TikTok, Tank Don't Talk. And you can find my beard and body butter called Man Shit. You can go to manshyt.com. Check that out. Angel?
You can find me at That Chick Angel everywhere. Y'all be blessed.
Absolutely.
Have a good
y'all
day.
Y'all have a good one, fam.
Check out Helix Mattress at helixsleep.com. Love y'all. God bless. Bye.
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.